case anybody wants. I was looking over some points in the Kaf HaChaim on Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph. So before we see Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, I wanted to get to that today, but maybe we'll just say a few points from the Kaf HaChaim on Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, just to put a little ribbon around the Siman that we saw in the Tur. So whenever I learn Kaf HaChaim, every word of his is holy, but I sort of highlight certain things from time to time that are striking. In Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, in Ot Hey, the Kaf HaChaim writes, "Slichot v'tachanunim tzarich le'omram benachat ubematun ubekavana." Slichot have to be said slowly and with patience and with kavana. Ve'asur lehazkir yag midot shelo bekavana. You're not allowed to say the 13 midot without kavana. That he brings down from the Birkei Yosef, from the Chida. It's also brought down in the Shari Tshuva. If you open up a Mishnah Berurah, you see on top of the Mishnah Berurah Shari Tshuva, not Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva the Posek. And so this is brought down there. So it's important that when we say the Yud Gimel Midot, which by the way is the core of Slichot, that's like the Shmoneh Esre, the Amida of Slichot. Whenever we say Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum Echanun, It's very kedai to actually study the 13 midot and to know what each one, what is the attribute of each one of them and what does it mean. And there are sfarim written on those 13 midot. Look in the Mefarshim, in Parashat Kitisa, where the pasuk is written. There's a lot to learn. I would love to make that a study in itself. It would take many parts, but Yud Gimel midot is something that at least in pshat, a person should have in mind when he's saying. There's even all kinds of opinions. How do we count the Yud Gimel Midot? What are they? Is Hashem, Hashem already two Midot? Or is that just an introduction? And El Rahum, that's the Midah. Is Rahum the first one? El is just the name of Hashem. Or is El the first Midah already? Rahum is Midah number two. There are differences of opinions in the Rishonim. And afterwards also by the Ari HaKadosh.
Tomer
Dvorah
has it as
what? The Tomer Dvorah is going on the pasuk of Mi El Kamocha Nosei Avon Vover Al Pesha. So there, you're more independent with the counting of the midot, and so he's fine over there. You understand? But The Ari HaKadosh splits the Yud Gimel midot in a certain way. He says, you know how you count the 13? Hashem, Hashem is just introduction. He argues with Tosfot. Tosfot in Masechet Hoshana holds that Hashem, the Gemara says, Hashem kodem achet, Hashem leachar achet, it's already two midot. Ari HaKadosh says, El, Rachum, Mechanun, Erech, Apayim, Verav Chesed, Ve'emet, Notzer Chesed, La'alafim, Nose Avon, Vafesha, Chata'a, Venake. That's how you count the midot according to the Ari HaKadosh. The Ben Ish Chai and all the Mekubalim, Kaf HaChaim as well, they say that's what we go by. And therefore, to the point, the Ben Ish Chai even says you should count them with your fingers when you say them. Rav Uvadia in Halichot Olam says, slow down. Even though, yes, we do follow what the Ari HaKadosh says. That goes into a whole bigger discussion about, what do you mean? He's going against Rishonim. Why do we go like the Ari HaKadosh? He was in the 1500s. So that's a whole discussion. Not for now. Not even to hint at right now. I know you'd like it, but not for now. However, Rav Ubadia says, but to also count it, that's mamash like, you know, putting a stamp on the fact that we're not going like the Rishonim who counted differently. So he says, just stay neutral. Say the words you want to have in your mind that count. So say it like that, you know. Yes.
Eitan. This morning, I noticed that exact number.
Yes, in our Sidurim, you will find in the Sephardic Sidurim, we go by the Kabbalah, and so we go by the Ari HaKadosh.
But why is Notzer Chesed Alafim two different?
So that's when I told you that it's something to study, right? So that's part of the things to study. It's a very big question. How could you split Erech from Apayim? Erech Apayim sounds like one Midah. According to most Rishonim, it's one Midah. Notzer Chesed. La'alafim should be, that's a phrase.
Yeah.
right? How do you split that into two midot? So, you know, obviously the Ari HaKadosh explains it, and it's really, it's deep. It's very deep. It's based on Kabbalah. Notzer Chesed is the midah where he keeps the Chesed. La'alafim is where he stretches out the Chesed. These are different attributes of Chesed itself. Really, really all the 13 are really one. It's kindness. That's what it is. What? Patience is not kindness. You know, forgiveness is not kindness. It's all kindness, but there are different branches, and some of them may be like twigs off of the branches of chesed, of kindness. But that's how the Ari HaKadosh splits them. And when we say the pasuk Mi'el Kamocha, that's what we have in mind corresponding to. Mi'el Kamocha is corresponding to El. Mi'el Kamocha. Nusei Avon corresponds. So it goes in accordance with the Ari HaKadosh, the Talmud Dvar also. Rabbi Moshe Cordovero was, you know, was actually older than Ari HaKadosh. He was before him. He was the master of Kabbalah before the Ari came and took over the world with his Kabbalah, you know? Yes, Gilad.
Which Sfarim?
For Pshat, not necessarily yet going into the Kabbalah, which, by the way, a great idea would be to learn Tomel Dvora. We did that a year and a half ago, I think, when it was. And we have it online recorded if you want. It was a real good learning we did. Baruch Hashem, it was a real good learning. And so Tomel Dvora, he explains all the 13 midot, but he explains it more in the angle of that pasuk in Micha, of Mi'el Kamocha Nusei Avon. The two psukim correspond to each other. In fact, you know, one is considered higher than other. I won't get into which one, because you're going to ask right away a question, so I'm going to get into it. But that, what can I do? I'm not making this up. But that's about Mi'el Kamocha. In regards to the Yudgimel Midot of Hashem, Hashem, Kelachum Chanun, I would start off with learning the Pshat. And that is, you take a Chumash, Parashat Kitisa, you learn how Rashi explains. You learn how the, you know, how the Rashbam, how the Ibn Ezra. I would even suggest to take a book called Atem Edai. Atem Edai, in English, it's called A Nation is Born, written by Arav Avigdor Miller, Alav Shalom. He explains each one of those Midot in a way that is so relatable, is so relatable. It's called A Nation is Born. That's his commentary on the book of Shemot. And it's beautiful there. No, he does not go according to the count of the Ari. He's going according to Pshat. But we need to know the Pshat anyway, right? So that's already a great, immense accomplishment. There is a Sefer, I forgot the name, I have it at home. It's like a thin Sefer. It's written by a Talmud of Rabbi Miller. That goes be'iyun on each and every one of the Yud Gimel Midot. I think it's Share something. I have to look at home. There's a Sefer on the Gimel. I remember enjoying it very much. That's something I would also recommend. There are many. You know, I think the Ben Ish Chai, in one of the parashiyot in Halacha, he explains them, if I'm not mistaken. But the best way is to open up the Chumash Parashat Kitisa. That's what I would do. You open up Kitisa and you see all the Mefarshim and Ramban, you see how the Ramban, you know the Ramban, I was thinking about this morning. The Ramban, in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, I once showed you what it's worth. Did I show you one time? Because you can't see it, that's the problem. In my opinion, the Ramban is very underrated. Very underrated. I think that it's only due to Rashi that we don't talk about the Ramban as much as we talk about Rashi. Rashi is Rashi, en malasot, that's how it is. But lu yitzuyar, chas v'shalom, I'm scared to even say the words. If it wasn't for Rashi, let's put it that way, right? Ramban would be uppermost. I mean, you learn Ramban ala Torah. I was learning a pasuk this morning, a tough one. In Nitzavim, you have one of those tough, leman sefot arava et atzemeah. Nobody knows what that means. Not the Mefarshim, I mean people. You go around, leman sefot arava. Oh, wait, let's open up the chum. It's not one of those psukim you could just translate. And it's one of those psukim that you open up the Mefarshim and each one says something else. So now you know it's a tough pasuk. The Ramban elucidates the pasuk so beautifully. And he after he says his first pirush, he says, and this pirush is what I think is the truest pirush than all that's written out there. He says that. The Ramban usually doesn't do that. He says that. And then he gives you two other ones, and on the third one he says, and this is also good. Look up Ramban in Parashat Nitzavim this week. And I said to myself, wow, it's, and by the way, the Pirushim that he gives there are so fundamental, so with principle, it's so beautiful, it's illuminating. I said, Ramban, I don't think he gets enough, you know, credit. Yeah, I know we mentioned Ramban, but, you know, so to learn the Ramban in Parashat Ki Tisa and others, that would be a great thing. It would be a great thing. What else do we have over here? I'm going to skip a few things just to make it some short over here. He brings the minhag of blowing the shofar during slichot by the Sfaradim, that he says not all Sfaradim do it, but it sounds from the Kaf HaChaim that it's actually a good idea, because he says hanohagim kedivrei Shulchan Aruch yesh nohagim litkoa gam ken beslichot beomram yud gimel midot vegam kodem titkabal. He says kedel kayem divrei hakol, in order to be yotze all shitot, we blow the shofar during the Yud Gimel Midot and during the Titkabal. Interesting. Kaddish at the end of Slichot. That's an interesting take from the Kaf HaChaim. Another interesting, in Ot Yud Daled, we learned in Tavku Pe Aleph, the Tur said, Merosh Chodesh Vailach, we blow the shofar and we do Slichot. And the Tur brought the reason, because those were the last 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the second Luchot. And they ended, they culminated with Yom HaKippurim. It was on Yom Kippur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was completely appeased with Am Yisrael Besimcha, and he said, Salachti Vidvarecha, right? Ve'od Yeshlomar. The Kaf HaChaim brings another reason for the 40 days. Again, the question is, why 40 days Slichot? So the first one is, you know, to remember Moshe Rabbeinu went 40 days. Ve'od yesh lomar atam lemem yom, another reason, kede letaken mem yom de meraglim, ve'yom mem sha'asu et ha'egel, u'mem yom de yitzirat tavlat. To be metaken the 40 days of the meraglim. The meraglim also, they toured the land for 40 days. That's why we stayed for 40 years. Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. Remember, each year corresponding to one day of the Meraglim. So it's a tikkun for the Meraglim also. You never get that heard, right? For the 40 days, it's a tikkun from Aaseh HaEgel, which also was in the first 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu's going up to Sinai. And also, it corresponds to the 40 days of our inception. Conception, how we are created. The first 40 days in the womb of our mother, we are conceived. And so, keneged, the 40 days of Yetzirat Tavlat, so we have the 40 days of Elul to sort of reconstruct ourselves back again, to recreate, to reconceive ourselves back again. Kaf HaChaim is bringing. And then he gives Alpi Kabbalah. He says also, it corresponds to the four Yuds of the name of Ein Bet. Right, you know what's the name of Ayin Bet? That's when you take Yud Ke Vav Ke and you spell it out. You spell each letter out with the Yuds. Yud Vav Daled, Hey Hey Yud, Vav Vav Yud Vav, and Hey Hey Yud. If you add up the numerical value, the gematria of all those letters, it comes out to Ayin Bet. It comes out to 72. And how many Yuds you have altogether there is 4. So keneged the 4 Yudim of Havaya de Yudim is Yud is 10, so 4 times 10, that's 40, that's the 40 days. And he says also, Ken Daled Olamot Abiya Shekol Echad Kalul Me'eser, also corresponds to the 4 spiritual worlds, right? Atzilut, Beriah, Yetzirah, Asiya, and in each one of those 4 worlds you have the 10 Sefirot, so that's 4 times 10, that's 40. So, I mean, he just throws it in, like, you know, dessert over here. We don't know why. Why should I guess, no, I mean, no, the truth is, we're here in this world to bring a tikkun to the Olamot Ha'Elyonim. So yeah, so the 40 days are a tikkun for the Yud of Hashem's name in Ayin Bet, and for the 4 worlds and their sefirot, and the sefirot therein. It's the full name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, which with each letter spelled out, but with the Yuds, because there are different ways of spelling Hey. There's Hey Yud, there's Hey Aleph, and there's Hey Hey.
What about Hey Yud Hey?
No, that's never. There's no such a thing. There's only three ways, and that gives us four different ways of writing out Hashem's name. It's called Av Sag Ma Ben. Ayin Bet is the one I just told you. There's one that comes out to 63,
45.
One that comes to 45, Ma, and Ben 52. Right. So the one that comes out to 45 is Havayat De Alfin, Milui De Alfin. It's important to know this. It's good. It's good. Because, you know, Ben Ish Chai always, you know, he juggles all this all the time. So it's at least we don't stay in, what is he saying? Yes, no, I was just saying there's three ways to spell hey. So that, therefore, makes different ways of filling out Hashem's name. When I say filling out, you know what I mean, right? Okay. Another pointer from the Kaf HaChaim. There's a lot, but just some select points here. What date is today, the Hebrew date? When is Kaf He Be'elul? Thursday?
It's
when is
22.
So today's 22, tomorrow's 23, Wednesday's 24. So Thursday is Kaf He, right? So there's a whole limud to start doing from the 25th of Elul, you know, to read the first parasha of the first day of Bereshit, because Kaf He Be'elul corresponds to Yom Rishon of the Bria, and each day to read what was created. So he brings that down here in Ot Kaf Aleph, and he says even that really from he says that already from the 24th, this Wednesday, from the 24th of Elul, we read Parashat Vayishlach. In the end of Parashat Vayishlach, you have the kings of Edom, which Alpi Kabbalah correspond to the seven kings that were before Maaseh Bereshit, which is the Shvirat HaKelim. That's the different worlds that Hashem was creating and destroying until finally this world came about. So there is on 24th to read the end of Parashat Vayishlach. Also, interesting, the Ben Ish Chai brings all of this. So then also, I want to read this part also. It's hard to skip. In Kafbet, he writes, in Kafbet, there's a minhag every day. I don't mean to make anybody feel bad here if you didn't do it yet. You could start anytime. But there's a minhag every day in Rosh Chodesh Elul, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, to say 10 Mizmore Teilim. If you say 10 Mizmore Teilim every day, you finish Tehillim every 15 days, which means by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, you finish Tehillim two times. And two times is Keminyan Kaper. Because in Tehillim, you have 150 Mizmorim. 150 times 2 is 300. Kaper, please atone, Kaper, Kaf Peiresh is 300. So there is such a minhag. Many people do this, and it's brought down here. To start Tehillim today is also good. Nobody should feel bad if you didn't know about this before. It's something, if you have time, of course, to do. Another thing, this I want to read the whole piece. It's a lot of chizuk here. Chodesh Elul Zman Teshuvah Lakol. We have to take advantage of the days of Elul. They're quickly disappearing. Just yesterday was Rosh Chodesh Elul. And here we are on the 22nd. We only have 8 precious days left of Elul. Elul is, Elul is a precious time. Chodesh Elul Zman Teshuvah LaKol Hu. It's a time of Teshuvah for everyone. V'yizaher lefashpesh b'ma'asav. A person should look into his deeds. V'tov v'yashar shebechol laila kodem sheyishan terem amirat vidui yefashpesh v'yichapes drachav u'b'ma'asav b'oto yom. Every day in Elul, before you go to sleep at night, before you say vidui of Kriyat Shema l'amita, think into your deeds of that day. Is there something that I should not have done? Is there something that I did that I could have done better? Is there something I didn't do that I should be doing? V'yitvadeh v'yashuv. And he should do teshuvah. At least on one thing. At least, I mean, it's hard to do teshuvah on everything, let's say. But on one thing. V'chen ya'aseh mirosh chodesh elul ad yom ha-kippurim. Says the Kaf HaChaim. You know, Kaf HaChaim doesn't go easy on us. You know. He says, hey, v'haya tzarich la'asot ken kol yamav, v'chol layla. Really, you should be doing this every night. Elul. Every night you should be doing this cheshbon ha-nefesh. Kare'u b'shmotam mare de'chushbana, as the tzaddikim who are known to be mare de'chushbana, the masters of cheshbon, those who do, you know, introspection. ולפחות כה יעשה במם יום הנוראים הללו. However, at least, so now he brings it to like, at least, you know, you should do this in the 40 days of Elul. Then he goes into, you know, textual dealings with the slichot. We'll leave that aside for now. Baruch Hashem, we all have sidurim, and there are all kinds of shitot. But here's another point. Another, okay, you'll allow me like two more points here from the Kaf HaChaim. All right, yeah, just these two. In Siman Nuntet, Ot Nuntet, I'm sorry. Noagim litanot b'erev Rosh Hashanah. So we spoke about the minhag of fasting on erev Rosh Hashanah. V'yasim kol adam al libo lashuv b'chol libo. Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's going to be this coming Monday, a week from today, a person should put into his heart to do teshuva. Seriously, if on erev Rosh Hashanah a person can sit down for 10 minutes, and just like, you know, be alone with your thoughts between you and Hashem, and you know, that's how you gain a relationship with Hashem. You know, we're supposed to develop a relationship. How do we develop a relationship? By talking texts from a book, and then when we close the book, we never talk to him. We're supposed to talk to him. We're supposed to have conversations. So that's how we develop, you know, a relationship, a tangible relationship with Hashem. So, okay, so the whole day, Erev Yom Kippurim, to be Osek B'Tshuva, we should be, and we should be. But Lema'aseh, if a person can even just, this I learned from Avigdor Miller, he used to take big things and give it to us and say, take a pill, a little bit. You know, Tikkun Chatzot, for example, right? Tikkun Chatzot, so some people, they say, it's so hard, it's late, and it's a whole thing, you have to say. The first answer is, yeah, okay. That's the first answer. The second answer is, okay, could you do it for 1 minute? 1 minute, and that's what he would tell us. You sit down on the floor for 1 minute, and just take down, try to like one tear. And if no tear, fine. Sit down on the floor 1 minute and say, I feel bad that we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, right? So the same thing here. 10 minutes erev Rosh Hashanah. 1 minute. Seder. Sit down. Sit down. Nice. Okay, yeah. While I'm going to shop for pizza, you know, to bring home because we're all under who knows what. No. 1 minute, 10 minutes, if possible, a little half hour, you know, something. Sit down. And I'm talking to myself, to do teshuvah, to do teshuvah. What does that mean, to do teshuvah? Again, to think, Hashem, I first of all, I thank you so much that you gave me life this past year. Some people didn't make it. Oh Hashem, you gave me life. And I know I didn't do such a good job living up to what I promised you last year, and yet you gave me life. So number one, I start off with thank you. That's number one. Number two, I really want to get closer. I really want to get closer to you. I really want to improve. I really do. I really do. I know I fail all the time, but I really do. Like that. To talk like that. You know, it's a good feeling afterwards. It's a very good feeling. When you have a candid conversation with Rabbi Nachman, talks about this all the time. Rabbi Nachman, zuchtot hagen alim. Right? To have a candid conversation with Hashem. Like you're talking, like, you know, to your father. Like you're talking to your father. Like that. That goes a long way. It goes a long way because, with all due respect to the holiness of every word in tefillah, which obviously it's be'olamot ha'inyonim, no doubt about it. The tikkunim that we do with the tefillah is a whole world unto itself. That nothing comes in place of that. Nothing substitutes that. But the problem is, if that's all we do, it's void of any kind of reality many times. And if we can be a little bit more realistic with Hashem, when we talk like real talk in English. He understands English too. In English, talk in English. Rabbi Penner once, I think he tweeted out something once. He always sends a 2 minute tefillah he has. If you don't know about it, you should know about it. It's really good. Every day, 2 minutes on tefillah. Rabbi Penner is amazing. And he spoke, so one time he said, I remember him saying, it was in the summer. He said, about this idea of talking to Hashem, you know, talking to Hashem. And he said, this is Mark. I know my Hebrew name is Menachem, but you may know me more as Mark. So like, I didn't like it when I heard it first. I said, wait a minute, Hashem wants to hear the Hebrew name. I have this thing with Hebrew names. Whatever, okay. But then it hit me like, wow, that's like so honest. It's like so raw. It's real. That's real. There's no ritual there. There's no, you know what I mean? It's totally
by the ketubah, amazing, like, stuff. You know, most people, if they go by like an American name or like an English name.
Yeah, you have to put it in. You have to put it in. But that's for, you know, documentary reasons, that everything should be documented. But you're right. You're right. So you know, this is who I am. You know, I'm Morty. So, you know, Morty, remember him? like that. Yes.
Why can't you say that that a person's tefillah should be kind of injected with that realist element? Like, let's say...
Eitan, I am not... you know, not saying that. Absolutely, absolutely. Of course, shouldn't we be working on our tefillah to make it like that? Definitely, definitely. The thing is that the words are there before we come. Okay. That's the only difference. Which means the words are here, and now we have to put ourselves into the words. And we have to put ourselves into the words. I remember I mentioned Rabbi Miluk, I mentioned him again. I'm going to mention him again also. That doesn't matter. He said, what David HaMelech mean when he said, Halili Nafshi Et Hashem? What's Halili Nafshi Et Hashem? Praise my soul. O soul, my soul, Nafshi, Halili, praise Hashem. What is David HaMelech saying here? He's saying what you're saying. When we take a siddu and we begin to say Psukei Dezimra, we say, Hallelujah, Halili Nafshi Et Hashem, Halelah Et Hashem Echayai. So now, what's the like very good level that we hold of? A guy who has kavana, that he's actually thinking of the meaning of the words. Wow, right? But let's analyze that for a second. The words were written for him, and he's thinking into the meaning of the words, right? But the words were written for him. Are the words a result of his feelings? No. He is trying to engender feelings as a result of those words, right? I'm coming to you. Let me just develop this. Oh, yeah.
There's stuff in between, though. Between the words and engendering feelings based on those words, you could place your own meaning on
true,
those words.
True.
So then it's personal. It's not just.
But after all, the words still came first. It's still Chazal or David HaMelech or whatever it is that was there first.
What's wrong with that?
Not at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. But let me tell you, I just want to show the difference with your own talking without a sidu. And that is, you came up with the words. There is something to be said. Not that that's wrong. In fact, not only it's not wrong. Eitan, you're right. It's holier. I said that before. It's holier. It makes a tikkun. You're not making the same tikkun with the conversation. No, the tikkun beolamot ha'elyonim. You have to use the words that were said b'ruach hakodesh. So absolutely right. I'm not arguing with you at all. What I'm trying to bring out is the contrast that there is an element of conversing with Hashem that could be missing in the tefillah. And that element is, this is coming absolutely from your heart and nothing else. You didn't have to adjust your heart to the word and think of your own meaning even into the word, which is beautiful. It was an outburst of your feeling. Which means, when you come to Hashem, Hashem, please, I need this for my panasah, and you get specific. No David HaMelech or Chazal or Sidu put that forth for you. That was you letting out to Hashem. That's an element that's also important, that we should not be lacking either, that we should also incorporate into our lives. But definitely, tefillah is tefillah. There's all forms of tefillah, and the, of course, tefillah is tefillah. But the sicha, the talking with Hashem is something very important. It's brought in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. It's a big inyan. Okay. Because we were saying on Erev Rosh Hashanah to sit down and to do tshuva and to talk to Hashem and to do tshuva. Okay. All right. But look what the Kaf HaChaim says, Abotai. Umikol sheken be'averot sheben adam lachavero. Especially, he says, in averot, in sins between us and our fellow man. Lo yamtin, many people make this mistake, says the Kaf HaChaim. Lo yamtin ad erev yom ha-kippurim levakesh mechila lechavero. People wait till when? When is it that you hear? Are you mochel? On erev kippur, right? Mechila, slicha, v'chapara. He says, don't wait to erev yom kippur to ask mechila from your friend. Ela yakdim atzmo la-mitzvah, be early in this mitzvah. V'kol ha-yom ya'asok ba-torah u-ba-mitzvot. Erev Rosh Hashanah should be devoted entirely for Torah and mitzvot. V'lo yasiach da'ato kol ha-yom. His mind should not go away from it all day long. And he says, look in my sefer on the Torah. The Kaf HaChaim wrote a sefer on the Torah called Yismach Yisrael. He says, I give you another reason why you should be asking mechila from your friend before Rosh Hashanah and not waiting till Yom HaKippurim. I remember looking it up once, but I don't remember it right now. If I see it, if I have a chance to check it up, I'll share it with you. I have Yismach Yisrael at home. And the last point is that about the fasting. You know, the fasting during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So it's interesting, with all due respect to fasting, fasting is hard, however, he says, we should not do en osim hafsaka shel ta'anit. You know what's hafsaka shel ta'anit? Ta'anit of two straight days, including the night. That's called ta'anit hafsaka. Ta'anit Afsaka, you know, tzaddikim like the Babasali, they lived like that. You know, they lived with this type of taniyot. They did Afsaka from Erev Shabbat, from Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat to Erev Shabbat. Ech ani lo yedah? I don't know how. Aval, ta'anit Afsaka. That's totally, I know. That's stampeding the body, let me tell you, right? So, what? Is it even mutar? I doubt, because people are not the same today, and it wouldn't be right. But in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, maybe you'll think, you know, at least Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Ta'anit Afsaka, let me do like, you know, 2 days Ta'anit. No, he says. Says the Kaf HaChaim, you're missing the boat. Mipene de'en achon leitanot balayla gamken, because in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, you're not supposed to fast at night also. Mipene shebiyamim elu, here is the highlighted line. Shevi'amim elu ikara tikkun naasa al yedei achila v'shtiyah. You see, I want to make you happy. See, the main tikkun in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah is by eating and drinking. Oh, we can do that, right? Finally, something, you know. The main how is it a tikkun? Right? Don't get me started. We're going to hold another shmooze over here. But the ikara tikkun by Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Shortly, with saying brachot correctly, netilat yadayim with kavanah, berkat hamazon with kavanah. That's the simple take on how tikkun. There's a deeper way, aval tikkun through the eating and drinking. No, now aseret yemei teshuvah, not Yom Kippur. No, velule she'anah. Look what he says. Velule she'anachnu muchachim li'itanot bayom. If it wasn't for the fact that we have to fast in the daytime, mishum tikkun avonotenu, because of the tikkun of our avonot, lo ayinu mita'anim gam bayom. We wouldn't be mita'anim in the day either. Of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Because Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the tikkun is through achila v'shtiyah. Therefore, the Ben Ish Chai writes in his Sefer Torah Lishma, and also in Ben Ish Chai this week, Parashat Nitzavim, Ot Gav Dalet, the Kaf HaChaim brings down here, Shetzarich le'echol pat bechol laila be'aseret yemei teshuvah kedei levarech berkat hamazon. You have to eat bread every night of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah in order to say berkat hamazon. That's the tikkun. You ever heard that before?
Yeah,
probably mentioned it last. From Ben Ish Chai, yeah. So it's very, it's a nice hard thing to you. I think there's something we can do. What?
Pretty hard consistently, like 10 days in a row of bread.
10 days in a row. Okay, you're right. Like especially if you're on a diet and this and that.
Fast, so
right. No, yeah, okay, I hear. Oh, you guys, I see. You like fasting better. Okay. I don't know.
No, you got to prepare for
people. True. But remember what he's saying. Okay, if you don't eat bread every night, but I mean, he says, Ben Ish Chai says you should, but it's not a halacha, a chiyuv, you know. But to bear in mind that the tikkun of these days is be'achila u'shtiya. So at least, the very least we can do is to say the brachot properly, to say them with kavanat. Not to throw a bracha, like the Gemara in Brachot says, lo yizrok adam bracha mipiv. A person should not throw a bracha from his mouth. You know what it means to throw? It means, let's say, you're taking a cup of water. So now, the same act of opening up your mouth to say the bracha, it's really opening up your mouth to drink. It's just that the bracha is in the way. So while the cup is coming on the way, well, I mean, you're not waste time, right? So on the way that it's coming out, you might as well go. Then he kral yizrok. That's called throwing a bracha. So the way to say she'akol is like this: Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam she'akol nihya bidvaro. Then open your mouth again and drink. Close your mouth after bidvaro. It shouldn't be bidvaro. No, then you open your mouth to drink, not to bless Hashem. Yimalefiti latecha.
I never did that.
Telling you. Does that make sense? Or else it's just an act of opening up your mouth. Derech agav, you're saying a bracha. No, say the bracha. So at least aser timet tshuva, a person should be extra, extra careful. Yes?
Sad question. I was just thinking about this. Whenever someone's in the chair, it's out of the door while they're walking, or you have to be saying it.
When a person says, oh, while you're walking, halachically you could say it while walking. Yes. Halachically you can. Is it a hidur? Is it nice to say it while standing so you could have more kavana? Yes. But halachically you could. It's not like by Shema, the first pasuk, and according to many poskim, until the words also of Alevavecha, ken, like that, that's it. The first two psukim of Shema. Yeah. So the first two psukim, you're not allowed to be walking. You have to be standing. Definitely by Shema. That's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You can't say Shema while walking. You could say Shema, but not the first pasuk. First pasuk, you have to be standing. While walking, you could say the rest. That's Shitat Bet Hillel, which we pasken Uvlech Techa V'Derech. And the reason for that is not because we go against the Ulech Techavader, it's because that's the only way to really, really have focus in Kavanah. Okay? Now.